Well, thank you everybody for joining us on this extraordinary evening where we honor women of valor. I would probably tend to believe that all of you are relieved to be past the last 4 years, starting into the next. And each one of these women have been instrumental in helping people get through, I believe, the last 4 years and position themselves for the future. And I'm so excited to be able to hear from each and every one of these. Take notes, be inspired. These women truly are groundbreaking. They care about you, they care about your future, they care about your families. And there was a quote that I was reading about Dr. Elizabeth Blackwell, who was the very first woman physician, as I was thinking about Dr. Tenpenny. She said, "The greatest leaders are those who see beyond the illness to the person beneath and really are trailblazers." So we're so honored to have you with us. And I'm going to turn this over to our founder of CardioMiracle, Mr. John Hewlett, who has a heart for humanity and for each and every one of you watching and listening and those people that you've yet to meet. And he's going to honor us with a few words and introduce our wonderful Dr. Tenpenny.
That's great. Well, thank you very much, Lisa, and thank you to Elizabeth Fairchild and Lisa from our team to help make this possible. I was born on Mother's Day, 1952. So I always had a special connection with my mother, and now I'm married to the most wonderful woman I know. And so women's health, women's caregiving, women's health, and especially as caregivers, helping them to be able to make sure they take care of themselves and those of their loved ones, because the women in the world are the ones who make it all happen. And we honor all women, and we're concerned that often the caregivers neglect themselves to the extent of worrying about everybody else. But we're so honored to have one of the great freedom fighters, liberty fighters, Constitution, Bill of Rights advocates in Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Dr. Tenpenny has an illustrious career as an osteopathic physician, actually my favorite. That's my favorite of the medical professions. I love the osteopaths because they have such a nice diversity between the chiropractic alternative and also medicine at the same time. And had the honor of spending some time with Dr. Tenpenny over the years, and have admired her greatly for her stance on fighting for the individual rights of individuals to be able to get the noticeable medical care and make the choices that they need to make. And she has worked tirelessly to try to help save our republic and to help reinstore our basic rights as citizens. And so I have the highest regard for Sherry, and thank her very, very much for taking from her busy schedule. We've had the opportunity of comparing notes. She works with some great people. The Get Healthy store is something that we've enjoyed working with, and I know that she's had a great relationship there, and of course has been designated. We have the 12 tribes of Israel. We have the 12 freedom fighters in America that were accused of disinformation, which now it's proving that everybody else had the disinformation and they had the right information. So with that, we're thankful and grateful for Sherry joining us today, and we're anxious to hear her take on the best way to prevent against the next attack or immune compromising situation that may be thrust upon us, but also the things that are the keys that she's found in her journey and her studying this tremendous important issue on women's health. So thank you, Dr. Tenpenny, for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much, John. Excuse me. I would like to make a little correction, though, from where you started, and that's about osteopathic physicians, because the osteopathic physicians that you described are osteopathic physicians from maybe the 1940s and the 1950s. The DOs during that period of time, I think, were some of the last of the thinking doctors, is the way that I say, that they realized that there were structure function relationships, that they realized that the rule of the artery was supreme, and all the four basic tenets about osteopathic medicine. They tended to lean more towards primary care. They tended to lean more towards nutrition and lifestyle and those sorts of things. Sadly, those days are kind of gone. You know, when I graduated from medical school, I actually had the director of medical education of a place that I was applying for internship tell me that he felt really bad for me because I was at the tail end of a great profession that had gone away, and that was in 1985. So now, most of the physicians, I would say, that are osteopaths, there's still a few of us that really practiced, by osteopathic principles. But I think most of them, you don't know if they're an MD or a DO, except if you see them sign their names. They aren't trained anymore towards nutrition or lifestyle or vitamins or supplements or acupuncture, homeopathy than the next guy. And so I'm glad to say that I'm probably one of the last, I still, when I'm in the office, I still practice by osteopathic principles, which is that the rule of the artery is supreme, which is what I'm going to talk a little bit about here tonight, in terms of it fits right in with CardioMiracle, excuse me, and all the things that we've known to love and to about CardioMiracle and incorporating it into our practice. So I'm going to see if I can make this work. Let's see if I can share the screen. See if this works. Can you see that?
Perfect.
Yes.
Looks great.
Let's see if I can make the slides turn. Let me see.
I
Oh.
love the name of that.
Okay, so I guess it is working. All right. So you can see them change the slides.
Yes.
So where I see this on my screen is over to my left. I've got four screens here. So if I'm looking to the left, it's because that's where I see the PowerPoint. So forgive me for not looking right straight ahead at everybody, but that's where it is. So we're going to talk just a little bit. I know I've got about 30 minutes here called, and I wanted to talk about healing the broken heart. And healing the broken heart is, we can look at that from several different perspectives. So, when we heal the broken heart, where we start from, the first slide didn't come through here. So the first slide is supposed to say how bad heart disease is today in America, that women really do provide or really do die from heart disease as much as what men do. As a matter of fact, that they have a worse survival rate if they've had a heart attack or they've had a bypass surgery or they've had a procedure. They within the first year or 3 years after they've had those procedures, they have a worse survival rate. And so, what can we do really in terms of looking at what we can do to make things better? Well, I did some research into looking at the cardiology, and I found this from this called the Loewen Institute, spelled Lowen for those that are just listening. Lowen, the Loewen Institute. It was Dr. Bernard, who was a big cardiologist, had lots of achievements, lots of visionary things for health that he was wanting to find. And in 2012, he founded the Loewen Institute because he wanted to see him as an invasive cardiologist, where he placed stents and he did bypass surgeries. What was working, what wasn't working? And so they spent a lot of time looking around. Let's see if I can make this happen here. And what they found was that year after year, that healthcare providers in place more than 3 million stents. And so they looked at statistics from over 1,700 hospitals, and what they found was that they don't work, period. They don't work. And they had more than 3 million data points that they looked at when they did this analysis. So they looked at overall whether or not they were spending money and doing anything that was actually working. And at the end of their decision, they decided that it was not working. The hospitals perform more than 229,000 unnecessary coronary stents in just a 2 year period of time from 2019 to 2021. That's the rate of one every 7 minutes that they are placing an unnecessary, expensive, and risky thing that doesn't work. Approximately 1 million stents placed by hospitals, 22% met the criteria of overuse. And the worst abuse was the Cleveland Clinic. And, here I am, I live in Cleveland, and that's why I felt compelled to really point this out. Because the Cleveland Clinic is known for, their tagline is world-class care and all about their heart program. And I've long said, I've lived in Ohio most of my life, and I was the director of an ER in Findlay, which is over on the west side of the state. We used to life flight people up to Cleveland. And I used to say that the best department at the Cleveland Clinic was their marketing department. I mean, bar none, their marketing department was their best department, better than orthopedics, better than cardiacs, all these different things. And they have multiple cath labs that they got to keep running there because that's how they make their money. So the worst abuse in the state of Ohio was the Cleveland Clinic main campus, where 35% of their stents that they placed were met the criteria for overuse, and that they were placed in either unnecessarily or inappropriately. Now, nationwide, a cardiac stent costs about $77,000. And that's just the cost of the procedure. That doesn't include medications. It doesn't include the cost of complications. It doesn't include if you end up staying in the hospital more than like an overnight stay. Medicare wasted more than $2.44 billion on unnecessary stents from 2019 to 2021. That's 2 years. Now, take that times 5, 10, 15, 20 years, they've been doing stents since the 1970s, and how many of them were placed unnecessarily? And again, it doesn't include medications, complications, procedures that can add to the medical bills. And these are the list of complications: perforation, stent thrombosis, meaning that the clot, stent that was inserted ends up clotting off and gives the person a heart attack. They have bleeding, bruising, or fistulas that form at the catheter site. And in the 2021 study, excess site complications was found to be 1.6%. Well, 1.6% sounds like a really small number until you do it, take it times the number of stents that are put in. So that there are about 3 million stents that they did during that 2 year period of time. 1.6% is 48,000 complications. And 1.6 of the 229,000 at the that they've done that was also 3,664 complications. So when you look at that number and you say 1.6%, well, that's small, that's acceptable. We can probably tolerate that until you do the math and find out how many complications that really is, from bruising, bleeding, fistulas, stent thrombosis, and perforations. So what can we actually do? I mean, if people have refractory angina, they have hypertension, maybe they aren't qualified. Maybe they aren't qualified to get a stent, meaning that their blood vessels are too small, too curvy. They've already had one. They can't have another one because it's in a blockage where they've already had it. So what can be done? Well, that's when external counterpulsation comes in. And I first learned about this about 2 years ago, actually 3 years ago. And when I first learned about it, I thought, why didn't I know about this before? And then when I investigated, I thought, man, everybody in the world needs to do this. And they need to do it in not only if they've got heart disease, but do it for prevention. Because what it is, it's like ECP stands for external counterpulsation. It looks kind of like this, where you have big blood pressure cuffs around each calf, each thigh, and around your abdomen. And then there's a 3-lead EKG that hooks up to a monitor. So your heart pumps, and then the cuffs pump, then the heart, then the cuffs, then the heart, then the cuffs. And it kind of sounds like that when you're laying on the bed, sort of ta-tunk, 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 which is what happens with the compressors underneath there. And it works for everything. In fact, it's one of the main things that it's been used for recently is for long haul COVID. And this was a pretty extensive a study that was done on a young person who was 38 years old, who had COVID, had recovered, had used ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, but ended up with long haul symptoms of brain fog, fatigue. And they only did half of the protocol. I mean, a full course of a protocol of ECP is about 35 treatments. And that's just the way it's been documented in the medical literature for years. And they did, because of that particular person's schedule, they did 3 times a week for 5 weeks. And brain fog and fatigue and everything, shortness of breath, was completely resolved within a 5-week period of time. So this is what I was saying before. Who are the best candidates? This is kind of what happens, is that the ECP actually increases nitric oxide. And that's why we always recommend it with the Cardio Miracle, because the two of those things doubles the amount of nitric oxide. So you get an increasing amount of circulation around blockages. It's like developing your own bypass graft. And these are some things, I won't go through all these little details here. If somebody wants these slides, I'm happy to send them to them. But what other conditions can ECP benefit from? You know, ECP was first discovered in 1953. It became FDA approved in 1995, and it was getting a lot of traction and been used a lot for a lot of different things up until 2010, when it was working way too well. It was taking money out of the pockets of the invasive cardiologists and the cath labs. And so how do they stop things like this? Well, they stop reimbursement. And so in 2010, Medicare stopped reimbursing for ECP unless you put down on the diagnosis codes, the first diagnosis has to be chronic angina. And if you don't have chronic angina, they don't pay for anything. Well, you can think there's a lot of conditions in a lot of cardiology conditions that you have, like atrial fib, you have blockages, you have all kinds of different conditions that don't have chest pain associated with them. So if you couldn't bill for chest pain, you didn't do it. And so from 2010, the whole technology got thrown underneath the bus and was not really used, except in small isolated cases and a cash-based business. So from 2010 up until now, the mainstay of where the research is still being done about ECP is in China, India, Japan, and Singapore. And that's because all of those countries have aging populations where they can't put in stents, they can't put in bypass surgery. Acupuncture wasn't working. So they've been doing all this research to try to figure out how does this really work. And in the meantime of figuring out how it works, and it has to do with shear stress inside the arteries, but the shear stress along the endothelial lining, the inside of the arteries, and that shear stress increases the nitric oxide. And that's really how it really works. Well, these are the other things that it found that they found along the way that really helped. It helps congestive heart failure. It helps blood pressure. It helps with depression that they saw with patients that were doing it because of increased blood flow to the brain. It helps with COPD because of increased oxygen to the lungs. It helps with kidney disease. And I've got three patients now that went from stage 3 kidney disease to 2, almost to 1, and their nephrologists were going, "What did you do? I've never seen any of this ever help." This study was the one that really caught my attention. Was an ECP was used to treat ischemic strokes. And in the first 7 weeks, if people were on the ECP bed and they only did 10 treatments, they didn't even do the full course of treatment, that they had 100% treatment within 14 weeks. Within the final outcomes, the ones who followed through and did the full 35 sessions really had the best outcome. And so that was, you know, when I first read that study as a former ER doc, I was really angry because I thought about all of the people that I had treated that came into the ER with ischemic strokes that are now sitting around in wheelchairs and can't brush their teeth, can't feed themselves, can't give themselves a bath, can't get themselves on and off the toilet. And I was just thinking, you know, if they had at least 10 sessions on this passive exercise bed is what it is, their whole world could be changed. And I read that study probably 3 years ago. And I remembered that until when I had my stroke and I had the stroke. I won't call it my stroke because I don't own it. I don't want it. It's going to be soon gone. And I think that words are powerful and thoughts are powerful. Thoughts are things. Words have power and definitions are important. And so when I had the stroke at the end of August, I mean, within the first 4 days, I was into having ECP done, and I was doing 2 sessions a day, which I was doing 1 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon in order to really increase that blood flow. And I really credit the rapid and substantial increases that I've had to all of the symptoms that I had initially. I was pretty much completely paralyzed on the left side. And so I couldn't really walk around. And when I did walk around, I had to use a cane, and I had no use of my left arm or my hand. And now I've got full use of everything. In fact, in this very short period of time, that was August 29th. By November, I was traveling again. By the end of December, I was traveling again. And I've gone to a lot of places. I've been traveling, I've been driving, I've been writing, I've been speaking, I've been doing all sorts of things. And I credit the early use of ECP to to jumpstarting the thing, plus the fact that I take a lot of supplements. I mean, I take a lot of supplements. In fact, I've said to people, when people say to me, oh, I really don't, I really can't, hold on a second. I really, oh, I can't take all those supplements, or I can't mix that stuff up every single day. It's like, you know, right now I'm down to about 43 pills a day. Now, that's not 43 different things, because like Kelex that I take, that's a natural chelator for heavy metals and also for you know, blood thinning and things like that. You take four of those pills a day. And there are things that are, you know, I take lion's mane, which I take four of those a day. So it's not like there's 43 different things, but I take 43 different pills. And when I was in Hawaii recently on a speaking gig, and I ran out. I planned for 2 weeks. I missed the last couple of weeks, and boy, could I tell a difference. And so not taking those nutrients is really, really important. And so what I tell people is that because of the stroke that I went through and all the stuff that I was doing in pre-COVID, during the COVID years, I mean, I did 600 speeches and 600 interviews in about 18 months. And for those of you that you do speaking, you know that that's a lot. I was doing five and six interviews a day sometimes. And so this whole thing happened just from the perfect storm. You know, I wasn't sleeping enough, not getting enough exercise, not taking my nutrients like I was supposed to, really just not taking good care of myself. And I think that God just sort of went boom, on the back of my head. And so, because my cousin asked me on my birthday, he called and he said, well, it sounds like you're back working as hard as you were before. And I said, yeah, pretty much. I said, what else am I going to do? You know, I don't have kids. My husband's passed away. You know, I don't have kids. I have grandkids, and I like what I do. And he said, well, you didn't have a big wake up call. I said, my wake up call was to take care of myself and to give the message to people. It's so much easier and so much less expensive and a whole lot less work and time to take care of yourself on the front end than until after you're broken and try to do all the repair work. So when people call me up and they ask me, say, how you doing? I always say, I've done the many, many, many hours of hard work, which I still do every day, about 2 to 3 hours worth of that I interweave with different things that I'm doing, a physical therapy and physical work. But God did all the heavy lifting. And I really attribute to my recovery, my fast recovery. I mean, really, in 6 months, you know, to all the thousands of prayers that people sent up for me. And I really, really appreciate that. And it doesn't go without notice. So with ECP, these are all the things it can do for an elderly population. It can treat angina, heart failure, strokes, neurodegenerative diseases like early Alzheimer's, early Parkinson's, sleep disorders. People generally sleep better. Diabetes and its complications. We've had lots of people that their blood sugars get better and their diabetic neuropathies get better. Ischemic eye diseases like macular degeneration seems to clear up for a lot of people. Hearing loss, erectile dysfunction. When I first read about erectile dysfunction, this is meant to make you laugh. When I read about it, I had this vision of having these centers set up and these busloads of people coming up in these great big, you know, tour buses with it to get their treatments for their erectile dysfunction. Well, think about it. When you have an erection, it's a flow problem, and when you're doing things with ECP, it's a flow issue, as well as various things. So that those are sort of a list of things that we've been able to see in our clinic and other places that are treated with that. And what's the difference? I just want to throw this in real quick, because the medical literature talks about EECP, and we just refer to it as ECP. And the reason is because EECP, which stands for Enhanced External Counterpulsation, is a trademark of Vaso Medical. And if you're not using Vaso Medical tools and machines, you're kind of, by talking about EECP, it is a violation of their trademark. So we just call it ECP, and actually EECP and ECP are essentially synonyms. So when people read about it or hear about it, just know that they really are kind of synonyms. So if you remain silent in your father's house will perish, for who knows whether you have attained royalty for a time as such as this. And I'm sure that most of the women that are here and most of the women that are listening, we are all here for a time such as this. And it doesn't matter if you're standing on a stage, if you're writing something, if you're speaking, if your mainstay of what you do is raise your children or your grandchildren, how important is that to them? To be the most important thing that you can do in these troubling times is to be a stalwart guidance for them. So the most important job that people have, I think, is the one where they sit around their dinner table at night and they say grace and they talk about what they did, what their kids did at school that day, what their husband did at job that day, what you did at your job that day to have family time. So just because you may not be on a big stage or you're not flying around doing a bunch of things, doesn't mean that your job is unimportant. And that's kind of a double negative because your job is very, very important. So with that, I just wanted to mention just briefly my new book that just came out. It's called Walking with God. I started this during COVID as inspirations for people. And then the last third of the book was me talking about my experience of walking with God after having a stroke. And I'm working on another book right now called Me and My Brain. And the subtitle is called Lessons from the Bench. You know, what happens when you are a front runner and suddenly now you are incapacitated and you're sitting on the bench. So if you're interested in getting that, the subtitles in the book are Be Brave, Have Hope, Embrace Faith, Deepen Trust, and Practice Obedience. And you can go through the table of contents, find little vignettes of ways to just inspire you. And the best place to find that is drtenpenny.com and then just scroll down to the bottom of the page. So this is a little bit about where you can find us at tenpennyecp.com. We also have a second center. We are in Middlebrook Heights, is a suburb of Cleveland. ECP Studio is under our umbrella too. That's in Ventura, California. If you're anywhere close to Ventura on the 31st of May, we're having an open house because we're just moved to a new place. And I'm not exactly sure if that's what you wanted me to talk about or not tonight. I wasn't given any direction other than just say what was on my heart. And what was really on my heart was just that these sorts of tools, and I know there's other tools out there, but they are out there for prevention. And all of us are in a position right now where we really have to do things on the front end. I put up a post on my Substack on Sunday, and so many people were saying, tell me what I can do for my brain. Tell me what I can do for my heart. I'm in my 60s now. I need to stay healthy, which is a paradigm change because I think a lot of people have been, they just do what they do until they break. And then when they break, they scramble to try to get better. And so my take-home message from this is that prayer works. Nutrients are important, and take care of yourself on the front end because it takes a whole lot less time, effort, energy, money than trying to fix yourself on the back end. So with that, I want to say thank you. Thank you for letting me talk with you tonight.
Thank you, Sherry. Let me just make one quick comment. I think maybe you're probably not aware, but we just came out a month ago with our new improved formulation that has lion's mane, and it has glutathione, and it has NAC. So we may cut those capsules down by about 10 or 12 a day
That's
because
great.
we now have that, and with the nitric oxide bioavailability, that really, really helps them to be even more effective. So we've made a concerted effort in this new enhanced version of CardioMiracle to address the brain health, the neurological issues, and those types of things. And of course, one of the major things is to try to prevent strokes and to do everything possible. But as you know, the most depleting thing that hits with vitamin D and nitric oxide is stress and fear, and you're not fearful of anything, but you've certainly been under a lot of stress, as we all have the last couple of years. In fact, I believe the whole world's in under PTSD. So that's one of the exciting things of what nitric oxide and vitamin D can contribute to that. And the ECP treatment is magnificent, and there it's expanding, I guess, all over the country. Any suggestions on where people might find that therapy, and is obviously on your website, you probably have that. And then what's the approximate treatment cost that you would be estimating?
Well, right now we do a lot of different specials and a lot of different pricing things. The full course of 35 visits is about $4,500, which comparing that to $77,000 for a stint that doesn't work,
pretty minimal,
and $125,000 for bypass surgery that is only the base cost, $4,500 to get well and stay well, it's not a lot.
That's a bargain. Yeah.
And that's the whole package for 35 treatments. We also sell them in packages of 10 and 20, which I don't know. It turns out to be about $125 a treatment for an hour.
And very reasonable.
And we've had people in both of our centers that have come in from all over the country. And I know that there are other centers across the country that I can't speak for. I don't know what they do. We certainly try to encourage people to on a wellness lifestyle, and it's not just a technique, so to speak. So anyways, we hope to see
you. Those slides at the beginning of your presentation are some of the best I've ever seen. I was aware of essentially the stent scam and PR campaign and the impact it has on the medical system, but those are very, very important. Thank you very much for sharing that great information. Lisa, yeah, back to you. I just wanted to tell Sherry that we have Lion's Mane NAC and glutathione, and so they can cut down those capsules that she keeps taking. So
I'll send the slides to you, John. Then you can use them. Okay. It's whatever.
Thank you.
Okay. So let me see if I can.
Lisa?
How do I?
Again, Dr. Tenpenny, thank you so much for sharing your story. And I think the hardest thing is heal or heal thyself, right? So we have been praying for you, and it's so nice to see you on the set with us.
Thank you.
Absolutely.